to turn to the book of John, chapter 3. Book of John, chapter 3. I'd like to read the first 7 verses. These are very familiar verses, very familiar chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or of a truth, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The first 21 verses of this chapter are the record of a conversation that took place over 2,000 years ago between a man named Nicodemus and Jesus Christ. We read some things about Nicodemus in verse 1. We see, first of all, that he was a Pharisee, which means he was an extremely religious man. He's not a man who denied God. He's not a man who denied religion. He's not a man who denied the law of God. He was a believer in the law of God. He was not an immoral man. In fact, he would have been a zealot for outer righteousness. We also read that in addition to being a Pharisee, that he was a ruler of the Jews. I believe that means that he was probably a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the supreme council and tribunal of the Jews, deciding religious and civil and criminal matters. We learn in verse 10 that he was an instructor. Art thou a master of Israel? Jesus said. Art thou a teacher of Israel? So he was an instructor of the Jewish people. So Nicodemus was a man who had position. He was a man who had power. He was a man who had influence. We read in verse 2 that Nicodemus came to Jesus on this occasion in the evening. The same came to Jesus by night. Two other places that we read of Nicodemus, John chapter 7, verses 50 through 53, and also John 19:39. In both of those places, I believe there is evidence that Nicodemus was a saved man in those two occasions. But in both of those occasions, along with this incident here in John chapter 3, it is mentioned that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. That tells me that coming to Jesus at night was significant. There's something significant about that. Almost all commentators say that the reason Nicodemus came at night was because of fear. We're not told why he came at night, but I personally do not believe that. I do not believe that's why he came. I believe he came because he was troubled at the teaching of Jesus. I believe he came because he was troubled at the miracles of Jesus. I believe the Lord was beginning to do a work in this man's life. And perhaps he laid down to sleep and couldn't sleep. He was being troubled. So he came to Jesus. The same came to Jesus by night, and he approached Jesus saying, "Rabbi," or "Master, we know," that is, where we are sure, "that thou art a teacher come from God, a teacher sent by God." This reveals that he had not only heard of Jesus Christ, but no doubt he had probably personally heard Jesus Christ teach. And I believe this was part of what was troubling him. And he immediately realized that Jesus' teaching was not ordinary, that it was extraordinary. He went on to say, "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." What miracles is he referring to? Well, in John 2 in verse 23, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." And now Nicodemus says, "No man can do these miracles." I believe that not only did Nicodemus hear of those miracles, he saw them. He personally had witnessed some miracles. He refers to specific miracles. He said, "No man can do these miracles." And again, I believe this is part of what was troubling Nicodemus. So from these first two verses, we learn that Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a believer in the law of God. He was a believer in outer righteousness. And Nicodemus believed certain things about Jesus Christ. He believed that he was a teacher from God. He believed that he was sent of God, that he had authority, that he had power to do extraordinary things. So he believed certain things about Jesus Christ. But in spite of these things, Nicodemus, at the time of this conversation, is an unsaved man. He's a lost man. And you can believe certain things about Christ that will not save your soul. It's very obvious as you read this passage of Scripture that Nicodemus is lost at this time. Jesus established the topic of the conversation in verse 3. "Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That prompted Nicodemus to ask a question in verse 4 concerning this new birth. Nicodemus did not understand what Jesus was talking about. In verses 5 and verse 6, Jesus continues this subject. He again says, "Except a man be born of water," which would be the Word of God, "and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So being born again is the same as being born of the water and of the Spirit. He goes on in verse 6 and he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, taking us back to the book of Genesis and creation, like produces like. And in verse 7, Jesus again repeated, "Ye must be born again." So the subject of the conversation is a new birth. And everything that Jesus says to this man during this conversation, including John 3:16, everything centers around and comes back to, "Except a man be born again, ye must be born again." Everything comes back to this. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth, it still comes back to ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. So we want to center the message around those words, born again. We want to speak on the subject of twice born. It is one of the most important subjects in all the Word of God. A subject whose importance cannot possibly be overestimated. It is a foundational truth that is absolutely necessary to understand the subject of salvation. No one can understand salvation without having some understanding of the new birth. And no one will be scriptural in their evangelistic methods without some understanding of what the new birth is. And the religious world today is almost in complete ignorance concerning the subject of the new birth. But Jesus said, you must be born again. That is a subject that concerns every individual that comes into this world. Again, remember, when Nicodemus approached Christ, he was a religious man. He was a man who was instructed in the law of God, a man who believed the law of God, and a man who believed certain things about Jesus Christ. He was a teacher of the law of God. He was a theologian of that day. He was a moral man. He was a well-respected man, a man of position, a man of power, a man of influence. And yet we read in verse 3, Jesus said unto him, this religious man, this man who believed certain things about Christ, Jesus said unto him. And as you read a little further, it says, I say unto thee. So this was a personal word applying directly to Nicodemus, a religious man, a moral man, a man who believed certain truths about Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto him, ye must be born again. And that message to Nicodemus is the message to sinners today. Ye must be born again. There is no hope outside of the new birth. If you are here and unsaved, you need to hear Jesus speaking directly to you today. Ye must be born again. It is a subject that is necessary for all of us as we enter this life by physical birth. It is a subject that is imperative. We notice that from the word must. When Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, ye must be born again, he wasn't giving a recommendation to Nicodemus. He wasn't merely giving advice to Nicodemus. That word must indicates a requirement. This is required. You cannot enter the kingdom of God without this. You cannot see the kingdom of God without this. This is a requirement. You must be born again. This is something that is absolutely mandatory. This is something that is absolutely indispensable. It is something that is essential. It is vital. It is a necessity. You must be born again. Do you see any exceptions? There are no exceptions here. And as you follow the doctrine of regeneration or the doctrine of the new birth throughout the New Testament, and also how it is pictured in the Old Testament, there are no exceptions. Ye must be born again. Nationality does not exempt you from the necessity of the new birth. Background does not exempt you from the necessity of the new birth. Mom and dad might be saved. Grandma and grandpa might be saved. All your aunts and uncles might be saved. But ye must be born again. Background does not exempt you from the word, from this new birth. Status does not matter. Nicodemus had status. Status does not matter. Genealogy does not matter. Education and intelligence does not matter. I'm sure that Nicodemus was an educated man. I'm sure that Nicodemus was an intelligent man, but he didn't understand a word that Jesus was talking about. Education doesn't matter. Position does not matter. Nicodemus had that. And may I say, age does not matter either. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. You will not enter, you will not see the kingdom of God without this new birth. Now, the salvation of, I'm not going to get on this, but the salvation of infants, that troubles a lot of people, so they've invented some doctrines that just are heresy. Age of accountability, I'm sorry, is heresy. You do not find it anywhere in the Word of God. But I do find you must be born again. Well, what about the babies? The secret things belong unto the Lord. But know this, you must be born again. Can't get away from that. You cannot get away from it. And when you start coming up with age of accountability and all these other things, now you have two ways of salvation. One for an adult, one for a child. The Bible doesn't teach that. Nowhere does the Bible teach that. And it's inconsistent with everything that we say we believe. Absolutely inconsistent. So age is no exemption here. Ye must be born again. We'll not go any further on that. We could, but we will not. I know I've said enough just to trouble some individuals. But again, I challenge anybody. Find that teaching in the Word of God. You will not find it. It's not even hinted. And to say there are unsaved sinners and there are safe sinners, find that in the Word of God. Oh, it sounds good. And it's comforted a lot of people. But it's not Bible. You must be born again. You must be born again. Can I explain all that? No. But I know this, you must be born again. And the secret things belong to the Lord, and we just leave it with the Lord. This is something that is pressing. It's something that is urgent. Jesus twice used the word except. The word except means unless. Jesus says, unless a man be born again, he cannot see kingdom of God. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That word except shows us there is an urgency here. The word except also means apart from. So what Jesus is saying is, apart from being born again, man cannot see the kingdom of God. Apart from being born again, man cannot enter the kingdom of God. That makes this new birth essential. You can't get to heaven without it. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the new birth must precede, must go before entering or seeing the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again, otherwise you will perish in your sins. Ye must be born again. Otherwise you will die under the wrath of God. Ye must be born again. Now there's a lot of things you can do without the new birth. You can reform your life without the new birth, but you can't go to heaven without it. You can be baptized without the new birth. You can join the church without the new birth. You can be very zealous in religion. You can be very zealous in the truth. You can teach a Sunday school class. You can sing in the choir. You can be an officer in the church. You can be the pastor of the church without being born again. But you will not go to heaven without the new birth. You can be very well respected by everyone in the church without the new birth. But you will never enter the kingdom of God without the new birth. You will never be born into the family of God. Are we not born into the family of God? That is the new birth. You cannot be born into the family of God without this birth. You cannot have eternal life without this birth. This new birth is urgent. This new birth is an absolute necessity. May I say also, this birth is beyond the ability of man. Jesus simply said, ye must be born again. Passive voice, meaning that the subject is the recipient of the action. To be born again is described in a variety of ways throughout the Word of God, throughout the New Testament. It is described in Romans 6 and verse 13 as being alive from the dead. You try to do that. That's beyond your ability. We are born dead in trespasses and sins. And you cannot give yourself life. You're dead spiritually. This is beyond the ability of man. It is referred to as being a new creature in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, it is described as being quickened or made alive by the Spirit of God. This is beyond our ability. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, it is described as being a partaker of the divine nature. 1 John, it is described as passing from death unto life. These are not things that you can do. You can't do any of these things. To be born again is not the production of man. And you'll notice in this conversation, Jesus does not one single time instruct Nicodemus to do something in order to be born again. Not one single time. He didn't give him the steps. Here are seven simple steps to the new birth. He didn't do it. He just stated a fact. Ye must be born again. It's just simply a statement of fact. He did not invite Nicodemus to be born again. He simply looked into the eyes of this religious and moral man, this man who knew some truths, knew some things about Jesus Christ, and he simply stated, you must be born again. That's all he said. Notice John chapter 1. This is very plain. John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, now you have to receive Christ in order to be saved. As many as received him, to them, that is those who have received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. That's birth. Even to them that believe on his name. He gave them power to become the sons of God. He gave them power to believe. And notice what it says. Which were born, and this isn't talking about physical birth. Which were born not of blood. Genealogy. A new birth has, genealogy has nothing to do with the new birth. Nor of the will of the flesh. You cannot will the new birth. Can't be done. Nor of the will of man. Others cannot will it for you. And then three very important words. But of God. But of God. The new birth is of God. Yet most in so-called Christendom. In fact, Billy Graham wrote a book of almost 400 pages on what must I do to be born again. I don't see how you can write a book 400 pages on something the Bible doesn't tell you how to be born again. But yet most believe that one must believe in order to be born again. You ask most to profess Jesus Christ today and they will tell you, well, you have to believe in order to be born again. That's works. That's works. Did Jesus tell Nicodemus that? He didn't say anything about that. They must believe, they will say, well, one must open their heart unto the Lord in order to be born again. We read in Acts chapter 16 that the Lord opened the heart of Lydia that she attended unto the things of Paul. You can't open your own heart. You're dead. The Lord must do that. Others will say, well, you must repent in order to be born again. Or you must come to Christ in order to be born again. But every one of those things, to believe, to open your heart, to savingly repent and come to Christ, every single one of those things are beyond the ability of man. The Bible very clearly states that man outside of the new birth cannot see the kingdom of God. Is there something we don't understand about that word cannot? Cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 43, ye cannot hear my word. They could physically hear with their ears. But when it came to spiritual hearing, that was something they could not do. It was not possible. It's beyond the ability of man. Jesus said very plainly in John 6 and verse 44 that no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him. Romans 8 and verse 7 states that man cannot be subject to the law of God. Well, all you have to do is obey God's law. Well, you have a problem. You can't do that. It's beyond your ability. The carnal mind is against God, is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. These things are beyond the ability of man. Man cannot receive and man cannot understand spiritual things. Nicodemus, an educated man, did not understand what Jesus was saying. He said, shall a man enter his mother's womb a second time? He had no idea what Jesus was talking about. He did not understand. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And here's why. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. You need to get this out of your thinking. Well, these little infants, they can't understand. Neither can you, lost sinner. Any more than that infant. You have no more understanding spiritually than that infant in arms. Need to understand that. Because if you have more understanding, then salvation to some degree is based on your understanding. That's works, my friend. That's works. Man cannot understand spiritual things. It doesn't matter how intelligent they are. They can't understand them. As a result of being born again, one will see and one will understand their need of salvation. As a result of being born again, not in order to be born again, but as a result of being born again, they will hear the call of God. And as a result of being born again, they will repent, they will believe, and they will come to Jesus Christ. No one can be saved without believing. No one can be saved without repenting. No one can be saved without coming. And you are not going to do any of those things outside of the new birth. These things are the result of the new birth. We read in John 3 and verse 16, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but none will." None will believe unless he be born again. Except he be born again, he will not believe. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?" The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. We believe according to the working of his mighty power. That's the new birth. And that causes us to believe. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It, faith, is the gift of God. Philippians 1 verse 29, "For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but to suffer." You see, it's given to you to believe. That's the new birth. These things are the result of the new birth. Notice, people say, well, Revelation 22 and verse 17, "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." But don't you understand, none will take that water of life apart from being born again. That's right. Psalm 110 and verse 3 says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." We're willing because of God's power. We're willing as a result of the new birth. That is why salvation is not the result of faith of man. It's not the result of the will of man. It is the result of the new birth. You must be born again. To be born again is a miraculous work of God. Except a man be born again, you must be born again. He is saying, unless you are the object, unless you are the recipient of divine power, cannot be saved. And I do not believe there will be a single soul in heaven that is not the recipient of God's mighty power. I do not believe in two ways of salvation. I don't believe in three ways or four ways. I believe in one. Only one way. And you must be born again. To be born again cannot in any way be attributed to anything in man, but is always the almighty work of God. It is always in the New Testament attributed to God, and never, never is it attributed to man. Notice in John chapter 1, or James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 17 and verse 18. Well, let's just read verse 18. "Of his own will begat he us. That's a new birth, begat. Of his own will, begat he us. Of his own will, he birthed us. That's the new birth. That's grace. That's a miracle. And what did he do? What did he use? He used the word of truth. Except a man be born of the water and the spirit. God always uses the word in a new birth, and we don't have time to go there. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. He hath begotten us. It's not attributed to man. 1 John 4, 7, 1 John 5, verse 4, we read that phrase, born of God. Born of God. Not born of the will of man, not born of the flesh, born of God. And if you're here and saved today, you've been born of God. That makes you a miracle. 1 John 5, verse 1, we read the phrase, begotten of God. But the religious world, and its apostate rejection of the truth of God, has made the new birth into nothing more than making a decision. You can't decide to be born. They have reduced it down to simply walking the aisle, to simply saying a prayer. But to be born again is not a decision. To be born again is not saying a prayer. To be born again is a miracle of God. It is a miracle greater than the creation miracle. A new birth. You and I that are saved, we are miracles of God. We are miracles of the God, of the grace of God. This new birth is much more than just a change of opinion. It's much more than a religious education. It's much more than a reformation. It is a miracle of God. And when it happens, there's nothing you can do to stop it. It is not the product of human ingenuity. Well, we need to come up with better methods. You can't produce the new birth. I don't care what method you use. Can't be done. It's something more than human tact. Well, we need to learn to talk tactfully to sinners. You can do that, but that's not what's going to bring about the new birth. So, well, this man is so talented. He has a way of presenting the gospel that has nothing to do with the new birth. It's not attributed to the talent or the gifts of man. It is a miracle of God. To be born again is the impartation of life. You must be born again. And you go through the Word of God and you look at all the miracles in the Word of God, and they are extraordinary and they are amazing and they are wonderful. But we're talking about a miracle that surpasses all miracles. The miracle of the new birth. When God imparts life to a dead sinner, raises that sinner up from the realm of spiritual death and causes him to sit in heavenly places, that is a miracle. That is a miracle of God. To be born again cannot be attributed to moral reason. Well, they're not even old enough to reason. It has nothing to do with the new birth. It cannot be attributed to moral reason. It cannot be attributed to eloquence or logic or emotional stirrings. It cannot be attributed to the exercise of the will. Only to the miraculous, gracious power of the Lord comes the new birth. To be born again is the sovereign, irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. And the means that he uses is the Word of God. James 1 verse 18 makes that very clear. 1 Peter 1 verse 23. makes that clear as well. No sinner is born again apart from the Spirit of God and apart from the Word of God. I remember very well going into a funeral home, sitting down, listening to the message. I was never more angry in all my life than when I went into that funeral home. Never more upset with God. I had no intention of listening to what was being said. None whatsoever. I was only there out of respect, and that's it. But all of a sudden, I realized, like I never realized before, that I was a sinner. And began to feel the weight of that sin. What was happening? It's a new birth. Now I began to see things I never saw before. I began to feel things that I never felt before. And I began to believe things that I never believed before. In fact, things that I was denying when I walked in. But the new birth took place. And I've seen it happen. I've seen individuals come into the house of God angry. And all of a sudden something changes. A new birth. And they believe. My responsibility, your responsibility, is to tell sinners that they need to be saved. Tell sinners they must believe, they must repent, they must come. I don't have any problem telling a lost sinner, you must believe, you must repent, you must come. But I know that they never will believe, they never will repent, and they never will come unless God works a miracle. And if they do believe, and if they do repent, and they do come, it is because God has worked that miracle. And when God works that miracle, all the glory goes to Him. All the glory. All the praise. You must be born again. If you're here and lost today, you need to believe. You need to repent. You need to come. But unless God works in your heart, you will never do any of those things. Not savingly. So to be born again brings us into a new relationship. It brings us into a new way of living. It is a supernatural miracle that results in a supernatural life. When one is born again, they no longer live the life that they used to live. They have a supernatural birth that produces a supernatural life. You cannot be born again and still be stuck back in Adam. It's not possible. There is a supernatural life as a result of this supernatural birth. And oh, we ought to thank God every single day. I've been born again. I've been twice born. I've been born twice. And my second birth is far, far, far more important than my first birth. Far more important. Oh, we make a big deal out of physical birthdays. What about that second birth? That's the one we ought never forget. I was born again. If you're here today and you're lost, we'll preach to you, we'll tell you about Jesus Christ, but oh, how we pray that the Lord would work that miracle of birth in your life. And again, people may disagree. I believe the Lord can do that when someone's in a coma. I believe the Lord can do it. Secret things belong unto the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come, lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.